Okay, so it's been a while, and Baruch Hashem, we're still here, and the Baruch Shalom is still here. We should continue to all be in good health, to learn and to daven. So it's been a while, and I want to begin with something special. I'll tell you where we're holding, and we'll continue there in a minute, but we're in this edition. I understand now there's another edition that came out, but in this edition, we're at the end of Perek Yud Zayin, which is on page Resh Gimel on the bottom. We're talking about speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a friend. Thank you. Speaking to Hashem Baruch as a friend. Kedabi Yishel Re'eyu Chaveiro. To be able to speak in such a way. So, before I begin, we're going to finish the parak, and when we talk about, we're going to see an example from the Mechaber, from the Tzaddik, Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak Carmel, the Mechaber of this Sefer, we're going to see an example. Every now and then we have a parak where there's an example of how we can begin to work on this. So the next parak is a very beautiful example, speaking mostly about a tefillah of Kedusha Sa'achila. But we'll talk about it. But I wanted to share with you, I just received permission really 15 minutes ago to share a story with you that I thought would be very meaningful, because it's about the Mechaber of the Sefer. So this woman is in touch with the Almana, with the Rebbetzin, the wife of the author, Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak's wife. You know, he died, he wasn't an old man. And she was very, very excited to learn, to hear that her husband Sefer is being that we're learning the Sefer together. She was very excited. And she's actually on now. The wife, she told this woman that just left me a message that she wants to hear the shiur. She's so excited that her husband's sefer is being learned, and she shared a story, which this woman shared with me, which I think it's all min hashamayim. That it was just 15 minutes ago. It came down from Shemayim, such a thing. So I asked Rishus, does the Rebbetzin allow me to tell this story? And she said, 100%, she asked, the Rebbetzin's fine. While he was alive, he didn't allow the story to be told, but now she tells us she's okay. So with the story, the way the story goes is that he was very sick, and it was a short time before he was Nifter. When he finished the Sefer, it was a short time, and he had a dream, and the Rebbetzin said that he's not the kind. You know, there's some people that they're always having dreams, and sharing dreams. He Bichlal was not like that. He was very, very straight like that, not with all the dreams. So he woke up. He woke up from his sleep, and he was very, very, very obviously shaken by the dream that he had. And the Rebbetzin, she should be well, the Rebbetzin asked him, what was the dream? And he didn't want to tell. He said, I can't tell you. So she says, please tell me. And she asked him a few times. But finally, he said, I'll only tell you if you promise that as long as I'm alive, you're not going to tell this. She was masking. And he said that in his dream, remember, this is a short time before he was Nifter. And in his dream, he saw himself sitting in a beautiful ulam, in a beautiful hall, some kind of a hall. And there were no lights in the hall, but it was very, very, very lit up beautifully, without any lights being there. And it was a hall that was filled with tzaddikim. But he didn't recognize the faces of the tzaddikim, with one exception. The one face that he recognized who was sitting there was his wife's great-grandfather, the great Tzaddik the Mashpia from Breslov, Reb Levi Yitzchak Bender. That's the Rebbetzin's great-grandfather. And he was there in that hall. And I think he looked at him, or he winked at him, or smiled at him. And then there was another Tzaddik who spoke up. And all the other tzaddik said was, wasn't old looking, it was young looking. And the other tzaddik said, Yafe kivanta. Either that or was she kivanta ladaiti. It wasn't clear. Yafe kivanta. In other words, Yafa Kivanta means in the sefer that you wrote, that you just finished, Yafa Kivanta, that you got it right, Yafa Kivanta, or Kivanta Ladaiti. What you said is what I had in mind. But she understood it to mean that it was Rabbi Nachman that he saw. The Kivanta Ladaiti. What you said was what I wanted to be given over, Kivanta Ladaiti. And then he said, and this is how he understood that it was Rabbi Nachman himself that was telling this to him. And then he said, V'simen l'davar. And he said, I'm going to give you a simen that this is me and that I am happy with the sefer that you wrote. That you're going to be invited today or this week. I don't remember, today or this week, you're going to be invited to come see. And that was the dream. And he was very shaken up. And he showed his wife that there was a message on the phone that he got. A short time later that day, I don't know, there was a message on the phone. There was somebody that called to say that he learned the sefer, or some people that were learning the sefer, and that they appreciate it so much that they're sending him a ticket to go visit Uman, that he should go to Rabbi Nachman in Uman. That was the simon that he got from the dream that Rabbi Nachman told him in the dream that you're going to be invited to come see me. So this is the haskama. This is the haskama to the sefer. I don't think you can get a better haskama than that. It's the haskama to the. Just Mama just heard this now. I hope I said it. I think I said it right. Maybe I was off a word here. I just heard it quickly and I came to tell you. But I think that's what it was. Might have left out a detail or two, but that's what it was. And so I decided that just to begin, just for a minute, before we go back into where we are, where we left off, that since it could be that the Rebbetzin is right now on this with us together for this year, and since she's a great granddaughter of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender, there's also an interesting siman that for some reason I took down a sefer from Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender yesterday, and I put it on my desk that I wanted to see something from here. And then I got this call. It's Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender's great granddaughter. So I said, okay, so I'm gonna share something from Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender. That's obviously what's coming down also here. So what I wanted to look up, I didn't have even a chance yesterday. But I just made myself a thing to come back and to look at it today, which I didn't have a chance either this morning. I was busy on the phone. But then I heard this message. And so then I went back and I opened up the safe. And this is just something to share. I'll just read to you a few words. I'm not going to go through the whole shmuz. These are shmuzim from the Tzadik Rebbe Levi Yitzchak Bender, who is the biggest mashpia and Breslov in our generation, by the real Messiah from the old Breslov, a small man, mamish. He was a link. He was really the link back to Rabbi Nachman. So this is how it begins. And it's woman Hashemayim that I just thought of taking this down. And I haven't seen this in maybe 10 years. And I just had a memory of something I wanted to see here. So this is how it begins. Hine omdim anu ke'eis l'krat shleishom yom kadma Pesach. We're now holding about 30 days before Pesach. Rav Nosson omar pam lefnei Purim. Rav Nosson once said before Purim, The Menasin said that if you ask Shloshim Yom Lefnei Purim, if you ask during the 30 days before Purim, if you ask Hashem, Hatsileni Miklipas Haman Amalek, Haman Amalek, please Hashem, save me from the Klipa, from the Tumah of Haman Amalek, that when it comes to lighting Megillah, you'll be able to see Mordechai. That's how it begins. And then he says the following, whatever that means. There's a little bit of a thing here, and then it goes on. He says, "Hine b'sayis Hashem v'avur ka'arba shavuos me'ayom kva'iya yom rishon shel Pesach." He says, "Mitzvah Hashem, a month from now, it's going to be Pesach." V'nevakesh me'Hashem Yisbarach kol yom. And Rabbi Yitzchak says that if we ask Hashem every day during this month before Pesach, if we ask Hashem, Hasileni mimashu chametz bePesach. Hashem, save me from even a mashu of chametz on Pesach. Save me. I mean, if you're going to a hotel, don't even bother with that. But if you're making pay, that's not. I mean, you can't need something like that. But if you're making a normal regular Pesach, Hatzileini mimashu chametz bePesach. Rabbi Hashem, save me from that. I shouldn't be nichshol. even a mashu of chametz. The vada yazlan Hashem is baruch in this closet. So if during these 30 days, every day we ask Hashem, during this month, Hatzileini, Rabbi Hashem, Hatzileini mimashu chametz bePesach. Of course, it'll be clean. And we do what we have to. I'm sure that you all know that Ari HaKadosh made a haftacha. Ari HaKadosh promised. If a person is able to stay away from even a mashu, even the tiniest bit of chametz on Pesach, this put down the behetev of Shulchan Aruch. Many swear. If a person is able to avoid even a mashu of chametz on Pesach, then it's guaranteed that he won't sin the entire year. Of course, a person has free choice. It means there won't be an accident, chalil, something like that. He won't sin. Muftach loy shleyachto kol hashom. But he won't sin the whole year. Rav Levi Yitzchak Bender explains. With davening, a person can do anything. Especially when it comes to this inyan of a mashu of chametz. That one has to have rachmei shemayim merubim. There has to be tremendous, tremendous rachmanis that Hashem should have rachmanis on the Jew, that the person shouldn't be nichshol. I'm talking about unintentionally, that a person shouldn't be nichshol chalila even in a mashu of chametz. The beemis reitzim lios betuchim shenaver es chag haPesach keyeus. And if we really, really want to be able to make it through Pesach and to live through Pesach in the right way, clean, Zosef Shirak Aide Tfila. It could only work with Davin. This part of this. It could only work with Davin. But it doesn't mean to Davin once. It means to be the Yom B'Yom every single day now. Let's try to do this as a project. That every single day during this time, every single day during this month, at least once a day, preferably a few times a day. Nischanel Hashem Zbarach Mide Yom B'Yomo B'Chol Hashleishem Yom Halalu Ada Pesach Shizakenu Lihizoyer HaFilim Mashu Chomes V'Pesach. The Baruch Shalom should help us that we should be able to stay away even from Mashu Chomes Pesach. You know, people do all kinds of things. I mean, they put aluminum foil, the whole kitchen is aluminum foil, and but they don't do the main thing, which is davening. And David Melach says, "My Hashem lo yivne bayis." That if Hashem doesn't do it, then all the workers. If Hashem doesn't want this house, then you could have the best workers. It's not going to happen. So all of us try to do everything we can to look at every label. And you're standing there, you know, you're standing there to figure out whether your shampoo is something you could drink. I don't know all this, and every single thing we're nervous about because we don't want to have a mashal. You know, that Arizal said such a thing. We don't want to have. And we're trying, we're so careful, we're so nervous, and everything. But the main thing we don't do is just the daven. We don't do it. I'm saying it's very common that we do our regular daven. But to ask for Rachmei Shemai, not to be nichshol in a mashu of chametz on Pesach. Because especially nowadays, it's not like in the old days where you had control of everything that you had in your house and that you ate, and everything was homemade and everything was. From the beginning, what are we eating now? What do we have now? We buy stuff. I mean, there's some people they still try to keep it like that, but for the most part, we're buying. Even those people nowadays, they're buying something that already was made someplace. It's very, very hard. So we're relying upon this, we're trusting that one, and who knows? We're trying with the daven. She is a kenuli yizar afilu b'mashu chametz bePesach. He says makavim anush Hashem zbarach bevada yazan tefilah. Then we hope that Hashem zbarach will listen to this tefillah. Vim Kang. And she teach the Yezaycha children, grandchildren, whatever, as Hashem, to teach the children also, and to say together with the children. The children should feel that our existence depends every minute on the Borei Olam, the Creator. And that cleaning for Pesach is not just about scrubbing and cleaning, that's of course, but it's about davening. It's about davening. And with all the cleaning that a person does, I remember a time that we were living in Farakwe, and you could ask my wife how crazy I am with Pesach. Crazy, in very abnormal ways. I've gotten better over the years, but I got this. This is one of the things that I asked for my mother. She should live and be well. I could decach that, you know, I was going with toothpicks between every tile. Mamish, with a vacuum, toothpick, vacuum, toothpick. You step on it, you spritz it with clean. It wasn't good enough for me. And all these things for me. So after one particularly brutal Nisan, so finally I was excited, I was happy, and I was sitting there, it was like the second day Chol HaMoed, and I was feeling so good about everything. The house was mamish Pesach. And my little Siri walks into the room with a bag of pretzels. Siri walks in with a bag of pretzels. And I just look at this, and I don't want to scare her. And I didn't know that maybe she would run away. She would drop it. I just walked over like I was going to be friendly. And when I got next to her, I grabbed it, and I said, what are you doing this? Where'd you get it? She says, I got a lot of stuff. I have from Purim a lot of stuff. She was very little. This is not, you know. I said, what do you mean? And she had a whole mice there, which she had a place. It was Givaldi. So I had to make a whole beer chametz, understand, on Chol HaMoed, Shaina Zach. And I'm thinking, I'm spending there, I spent a whole night with a toothpick, cleaning the between the tiles over there, and with the vacuum, you put the nose on it, you know that thing, and hit one toothpick here, and then another hit, and going like this. And it's over there, this kezesim, kebetsim, you understand, going on in my house, because im Hashem lo yiv nebayis, if the Baruch Shalom doesn't get rid of the chametz shav, amul b'nei. And this doesn't go. We have to daven, and we have to teach our children that this is how Jews live. We clean, we make an effort, we do our best, but we know that we can't be much there without Hashem's Baruch's help. We can't be. So besides that if we do that, then we're going to be saved from the Isra of chametz on Pesach. We're also zeicher to haftach from nobody less than Ari HaKadosh. Ari is our message haftach. The mesugah l'chol shel nechta kol hashanah. Tell the children that this is something that creates a protective wall around us, that we shouldn't have any chametz on Pesach. Vanu shiyoidim, of course, even the ones who are going to hotels, things, they should also daven that they shouldn't be nichshol. That what they're eating should be kosher for Pesach. You have to eat someplace else. You have to daven even much harder. That you shouldn't be nechshol. Vanu shiyadim is koicha shel hatfilin. Madulo naktish b'chol yom zman nusim l'spal al davezeh. He says, we, meaning us Breslovers, he says, oh, no, we know the koich of davening. That's all Rabbeinu was talking about, is the koich of tefillin. Madulo naktish b'chol yom zman. How come we don't see this? How come people are not putting aside some time every day? L'spal al davezeh. V'meila nizkele b'kiflai. And if we daven for it, we'll be zeicher b'kiflayim. So I wanted to share that with you, because I thought that this whole thing was b'nei shemayim, obviously. And I wanted to share with you, to give nachas ruach to this tzedekah, to hear me say over the story of her husband, the mechaber, who we're enjoying the sefer, and from her great-grandfather, Zichron Levracha, Reb Levi Yitzchak Bender, who is reminding us of how we could use tefillah as a very, very, very wonderful plea to help us during this specific time that we're in right now. Let's continue to where we're holding. We'll see him on my mirror on the bottom of page Reish Gimel. In the other edition, do we have a report coming in from a Kuf Ayin Ches? Kuf Ayin.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, one of the Chavra, Kovi, showed me a picture that I just saw they just put out a new edition. So he said, you know, It means it, and it's different pages and stuff also. So, okay, so this is what we have so far. Yeah, Lysium, Lysium Amaimer, Echtav is Divrei HaYushalmi, Amufloin, Alaposik. We're going to learn now to finish this parak, beautiful Yushalmi. A beautiful Yushalmi. Amuflam Alaposik, Kimi Goy Godel, Ashalolikim Kravimilov, Kashem Lokeno, Bechol Karenavilov. It says in Posik, who is as great a nation as us? Hashem is so close to that that whenever we call out to him, he listens to us. He's so close to us that the whole Karenu we love, that whenever we call out to him, he listens to us. Kirachim of Albonim, Richim Hashem al Yerev. And then Tilim says that Hashem has Rachmanis on us like a father and a child. So here's the Yushalmi. Tom Rabbi Levi. In Ha'aretz Vad L'Rakia, from the earth to the heavens, wherever up there, in the sky, is Mahalach Chamesh Me'oshan. So Mahalach is a distance of 500 years. Oh, whatever. This number, obviously, is a deep sod. It's a very deep secret, this opinion of this, these numbers. I mean, it's very, very far. Mirakia L'Rakia, and then once you're up there, from Rakia to Rakia, this level of the sky, to the next level, Mahalach Chamesh Meis Shana, it's 500 years distance. For Avir Shavakia Chamesh Meis Shana, and the thickness of each Rakia is 500 years. The Chain Lokol Rakia Rakia, and with every Rakia, with every level of the sky, it's such an Indian of 500 miles, 500 years distance and thickness, whatever that means. It's a lot. That's all. That's what the world is like. The Yushalmi says, "V'adam nichnas the beis haknesses," and then you have a yid. He walks into shul. V'omed achrei ha'omed, and he stands by in the ha'omed. He stands by some pillar in the shul. Achrei ha'omed, u'mespal b'lechisha, and he davens quietly. Hakadosh Baruch Hu maznes tefilasa. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is listening to his tefillah. In other words, the universe is unbelievably vast. I mean, these are numbers that nowadays scientists have other ways of describing this universe that we're living in. And they haven't even scratched what it is, all these scientists, but it's vast. And there's a whole excitement because I remember once hearing that they have this, that they have some equipment someplace where they could pick up a sound coming from some place far away in the galaxy. And this sound could be of a star that exploded, they say, is like a billion years ago. And now the sound is, it's so far that it took that long for the sound to get over here. That's how far it is. There's this thing exploded by their way of counting time. A billion years ago, it's already gone. But for that noise, for that sound of that explosion to get all the way here, to get to Earth, it took such a long time. And here, a yid walks into shul. This is what the Yushalmi is saying. A yid walks into shul, and he stands over there someplace in shul, and he davens b'lechisha. Quietly, not an explosion. And it's not a billion years. He just davens a little bit. Hakadosh Baruch Hu maznes tefilasa. The Baruch Hu is listening. Shenemar, v'chani hi medaberes al libo. Like it says with Chana in the Mishkan and Shila, that she was speaking, as you know, her lips were moving. Rak sfaseha na'os, v'koyla lo yishama. Only her lips were moving, but you couldn't hear a sound. It was silent. And it worked. And from now we have Shmuel HaNavi, and the rest is history. V'hezen kash baruch has tefilasa. V'hezen kash baruch has tefilasa. So the Yushalmi ends and says, V'chein kol b'yoysav. And so it is with all, not just Chana, not just some big tzedekas. Shenema tefila la'oni ki atay. Tarmel said tefila la'oni. The tefillah of the poor man. Now, poor Of course, David Melch wasn't only talking about people who don't have money. He was talking about a person who's poor. Chazal say a person who's poor in mitzvah samasim taivim, somebody who's impoverished, and he's whatever it is that he's lacking in life. He's lacking money. He's lacking happiness. He's lacking schusim. He's an ani. He's a poor person. And in ani el b'das, so he's lacking intelligence. Whatever it is that he's missing, tefillah l'ani, Hashem listens to. Not only does Hashem listen to the ani, but that's the most powerful tefillah, is the tefillah of a person who at least acknowledges and understands and admits that he's poor. And how does Hashem listen? So this is how the Yerushalmi ends. It's like, not that you're talking to somebody, it's like you're leaning over and you're whispering into the friend's ear, straight into the ear. Mamish. So we all have the Baruch Shalom. The Pasuk says that it's only us. Not to say that other people, that Goyim can daven, or that animals can daven, whatever it is that is davening in the world, they also daven. It's also a beautiful thing that the world is davening to the Baruch Shalom. But there's davening, and then there's whispering into the ear. He says, is there any way to be closer to somebody than from the mouth that's sitting on your friend's ear? That's how Hashem listens to that. Not over the phone, not an email, not screaming across 500 years, light years, whatever. Is there any, the Yerushalmi says, is there any closer distance than when someone's mouth is right on the friend's ear, whispering into the ear? Can we pelois? That's how Hashem listens to our feelings. That's what the Yerushalmi says. That's what it means, Kadabra Isha Re'eya. Davening is Bardos Kadabra Isha Re'eya. And then he gives an example of a tefillah at the end of Perek Yitzayin. I don't know if it's there in that edition that you have where it says, Tefillah HaKolelis, Toi Devaida, no?
It's there.
I got a friend of mine over here shaking his head. It's not here. It's the next piece. Okay.
Kuf Pei.
Okay. Kuf Pei, Korban Pesach. Kuf Pei. Pek Korob, a mouth that's close. It's Kuf Pei. So he gives an example. He does this every now and then in the Sefer, where he stops the shiur, he stops the lesson, and he says, so let me share with you just a little bit. Like, you know, like we used to go, nowadays, I don't think they do, but when I was growing up, you go into the bakery and they had a little tin foil, you could take a sample to taste a little bit. So here's a little bit of a sample. Rabbeinu Shlomo, this is about eating, which is something we all do. Rabbi Shalom, Ovi Shabishamayim, Tsuri Vagayali, my father, Tsuri Vagayali, Hatoy Vahametiv Lakol, Afarish Sichas Lifanach. Again, you say this in English, say whatever, you don't have to use fancy words. So we learned this Tavkir to be very, very plain. I want to talk to you about something. Afarish Sichas Lifanach, I want to talk to you. Boy Danilicha Al Parnasasi. I want to thank you, first of all, that I have a parnasa. Umizanoisai, that I have what to eat. It's not something that any of us should take for granted. Shaboy miyodcha hamalei hapsucha. We have brothers and sisters right now who are dragging around in Europe, all over the place, in Golis, looking for something to eat. Mamish to have just to have something to eat. So we don't take that for granted. Shaboy miyodcha mleha psucha, that you're giving to me with your open hand. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Al sheyeshli kol tzarchi. I want to thank you, Baruch Hu, for giving me all that I need. Hashem roi lo achsar. You're my shepherd. I'm not lacking anything. See, here's what I want to talk to you about. Al sheyeshli ratzon lechol. So now, Baruch Hashem, I have what to eat. Not like our grandparents. Great grandparents, parents, that there were times that they didn't have anything to eat. I have what to eat. And I have a rotzen lachem. So first of all, there are some people who are not well, lo aleinu. And because they're not well, they have no appetite. They're not able to eat. They can't eat anything. So he says, Baruch Hashem, I have a rotzen lachem. I'm okay. Thank you. And I have a rotzen to eat. So mazik lehem lebris haguf hanefesh, the people who, for either physical reasons or for emotional reasons, that they stop eating. People stop eating. And I also want to thank you that I actually thought about discussing my issue with you. That I actually thought about talking to you about this. Because I remember that you taught us that everything that's on my heart, I should feel free to come to you and talk to you. And as we learn, that even this is service that I should be able to finally come talk to you, that you also helped me with that. We spent time talking about that. That Hashem, you sent me to be able to talk. I know from the little bit that I've learned, I know that the food, my very existence, depends upon eating. I understand that. But not only does it depend upon my physical existence, but has a huge, huge impact on my entire being, my ruchnius, everything about me, my thoughts, my feelings. I know that. Hu hakavei ech yirech chalbi vedami. Blood and my organs, how everything is working, my yotzulach liyosai, and how my kidneys will be working. Yedeni shavabino akadosh karla tayves achila shasir roisha tayves. I also know that Rabbi Nachman, when he spoke about the tayve to eat and to drink, he called it roisha tayves, the roish, the father of all tayves, roisha tayves. I mean, that's the first tayve. It was by Adam and Chava in Gan Eden. That was the Taiva Eitz Hadas. So that's Reishia Taivas. Achila Shasiyas Reishia Taivas. Afa Bishayish Gruer Mi Taivas. Even though there are things that obviously more disgusting than this Taiva, there are Taivas that are much uglier than the Taiva tea. We're talking about eating something that's kosher. There are things that are much worse than the Taiva of Achila. But Rabbi Nachman explains in a number of places that the Taivas Achila, since it was the first Taiva, the Taivas Achila was the first Taiva, is the Rebbe of all Taivas. All Taivas come from that. And the Swami explained that all other Taivas, the ones that are much, much worse, more dangerous, but all the Taivas come from Taivas Achila. One needs to understand what is Taivas Achila. We're talking a little bit about that in the we're learning, but what's Taivas Achila? The etzim of Taivas Achila, it's the Indian of eating from that tree. What does that mean? The Taiva to eat, the desire to eat. So even though there are things that we see that are much, much worse than that, as far as Taivas are concerned, nevertheless, when a person's Taivas Achila, when a person's way of eating is not in order, it's very hard for the other Taivas to be under control. When a person eats with recklessness, is not careful with what he eats, is not mindful of what he or she is eating, it's very, very hard for the other Taivas that are all like subsidiaries of Taivas Achila. It's very hard then to be a person that's in control. To be in control. The Inyan of Achila was the beginning of man being told, this is one thing the Baruch Shalom said to Adam and Chava. Not that we don't know exactly what that means, but the Baruch Shalom said one thing to Adam. He says, don't eat from this tree. Eat from the other one. The other one has my hechsher. This one doesn't have my hechsher. Don't eat from it. It says in Pasuk 9 that it was too desirable to pass up. whatever that means. But what it's telling us is that the avi avos of one's loss of self-control, of discipline and control, is eating. That's what we see in the Torah. It's with eating. That's the avi avos, the reish. K'mosh amar Chazal, molei kriyse, zanei bishei. The Gemara says, when a person's stomach is full, he's full of aveiros. A full stomach is a person that is filling himself not only with food, but filling himself with other things as well. A full stomach means a full resume of aveiros. Why? So there are many, many deep explanations for that, but the Pashas at the bottom, of course, is Haguf Nia Magusha. When a person eating is what sustains our physical existence, and overeating or eating in the wrong way, it adds to one's physical existence. That the person becomes more and more magushim, more physical, and less connected to spirituality, to ruchnias. And he becomes a person that's more magushim. That's more magushim. That's why, you know, it's a troubling thing to see. We've spoken about this many times, about how the Baruch Hashem, there's much more learning than there's ever been, and there's all kinds of fantastic things that are going on. But when it comes to this inyan, Taibas Achil, it's out of control. Just look at any of the fruit magazines. Or go into a restaurant, or go a half hour after Matzah Pesach and go see what's going on by the pizza shops in the neighborhood. That they're standing online like ladies before some kind of a stocking sale in Macy's, you know, I don't know what. Standing in line for a piece of pizza that they couldn't have for a whole week, a slice of pizza. The whole eating of food was in our, you know, some of us who are a little bit older remember that when it came to, especially when it came to Pesach, how many kosher Pesach things did you have? What was kosher Pesach? You had a few. There wasn't an aisle in the grocery. A shelf or two in the grocery. That's the whole thing. Now, you can get whatever you want. You can get a kosher Pesach, chametz nuksha, whatever you like, be kosher Pesach. It was very, very little. And I'm talking about before the whole onset of the hotel business, with all the hotels and all the catering things and what's going on Pesach. But the inyan of the achila became very, very, very strange in our community. So it's strange. I think it's stranger than in the rest of the world. So somebody, a smart person that I know, was telling me that maybe the reason for that is because since we deprive ourselves of so many other things that the rest of the world enjoys, so it's like everything becomes focused on eating. Since a person that's Shomer Mitzvahs, he can't do this, he can't have this type, all the other types that are not nice, they're really ugly, he can't have those types. So there's only one thing that a firm person that he feels is mut to him, and that's eating. So he's got to go all out. You know, that he just takes all of the other taivas and he pours them into food. But I think it's something which is maybe I'm exaggerating. It looks to me like it's bizarre what's going on with food. Our relationship with food looks to me to be looks like it's strange. Something strange about it, with the kedushim and the way people talk about food like it's some kind of like it's something romantic. I don't know what. Instead of just eating to live. And therefore, again, even though maybe for many of the people nowadays, this saves them from doing all kinds of crazy aveiros because they pour all of their gushim dikin needs into a steak that's, you know, a 48-ounce steak or something for $500 that was aged, you know, since Maimon HaSinai or something is a steak, and they put all of their inyan into this food and they sit around there and smoked and it's this and it's all kinds of things that I don't even know the names, all kinds of fancy words that it goes to, that this poor behemoth never knew that he was going to end up through so many gilgulim until he ended up on some Jew's plate somewhere. This cow was just a regular cow. It was happy, and he didn't know. He thought maybe he was going to end up by just to be some cheap hair, something, you know, like in some guy's restaurant. He ended up being curated for how many years that he's sitting in some barrel so that a Jew could eat this and pay $500 for a steak. It's crazy. Something strange is going on with food. So it makes a person more magush. As the Messias is, it makes you more magush. It makes you less sensitive to ruchnis. I don't have to give examples of how we see that. It's just, it's all around us. All around us, from people that when it comes to inyanim of ruchnias, very little you can squeeze out, but when it comes to squeezing out from him, a couple $100 for a night out on the town, it's, of course, why not? You only live once. So, haguf ni magushim. So he's saying, over time, the body becomes magushim, thick. Becomes magushim. The kibbutz nolodim v'nasim etzanis magushim. And the more magushim a body is, the more magushim the body is, the more magushim are the things that he wants. He becomes more of a magushim thick person. Chashuchim. And they could even become dark taivas, things that are disgusting. Ritzainis shehem nimshel kebehemas nidmu. Things to want that really a fine person, a human being, shouldn't want. Sometimes a human being can act like an animal. And here you can have such a thing where a person wears a yarmulke, or covers their hair, whatever it is, and a shema Shabbos, and is involved in all kinds of strange taivas. That also, very strange taivas as things. So, what he's saying is that the rush of all the taivas is achil, is eating. Yadeani. I know. Okay, they taivas achila. Nachshachin eitz l'adam hayuv yahava, that this taiva of achila has a way of extinguishing a person's yira and a person's ahava, one's fear of Hashem, one's love of Hashem. The noifel adinim, and a person falls into all kinds of dinim difficulties. The hestapanim, that he feels less connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, less connected to Hashem. The bushes and bizyoinis, mimela and all kinds of bizyoinis. The dovik b'sheker becomes more and more attached to sheker. Misrachik mamas, and he becomes far away from the truth. All of this is the collateral damage of ruchnias to the one's ruchnias as a result of overindulging in achila, taivas achila. The swarm are filled with this. Avamayasa, but he's saying this again, an example of his about this. Avamayasa. What could I do? When I'm sitting there and I see this food, Hamashka, this drink, Sha'ov of a lie that I love, and you shall it bats me. I lose control of myself. Any halis needs, I just, I don't have any kinds of deep intentions like tzaddikim, you know, whatever, the sparks. We were talking about that a lot by the Chassidus. I don't need this, you know, to lift up any sparks to bring Kedusha to the world, to Vila Hashem to the world. Not even, I'm not even having in mind, when I see this food, when I eat this food, I don't even have in mind a simple, forget about anything Kabbalistic. I don't have even the simplest thought that I should just have strength to serve you from eating. The reason I'm eating this is, I'm not even hungry. It looks good. There's a whole thing called how you present the food, the presentation. Hamara, hatam. People pay money to put out the food in a way that it's gonna. Yeah, there should be more appetizing. There should be a bigger taiva for it. It's a whole malacha. There's a malacha in the world that of people that they spend their whole lives making food into a bigger taiva than it, making it look more appetizing. Hamara had time to taste the way it looks, the taste, and the smell. Heim hasibel achilasi. Let's put aside all the nice stuff about sparks of holiness and eating to serve you, Hashem. I'm eating this because I like the way it tastes, the way it smells, the way it looks. That's why I'm eating it. Gam imani eni roy. And what's worse, I'm not even hungry. That's probably the most embarrassing thing of all. Like, you know, like, if the Purim is over, to be sitting there, like, at 1 o'clock in the morning, Matzei Purim, eating chocolate covered pretzels or something. Are you hungry, seriously? The whole day of what was going on. And then you had the Suda. Now you're just topping it off with just one last chocolate covered pretzel with sprinkles. Each pretzel costs $7, you know. The box with a few pretzels, chocolate covered with sprinkles at 1 o'clock in the morning. You could barely have your eyes open. You're so tired from the whole Purim. And you had the whole Suda, and you're looking at some box at 1 o'clock in the morning to see if it's pyre. And no one else is there. Everybody's sleeping. You look at this and say, oh, gosh, it's parv. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing that a human being's created the Tzelem Elokim should be in such a matzav like that, checking labels at 1 o'clock in the morning to see if something's parv. It's embarrassing. Even if you're not hungry. I'm any raiv. Even if I'm not hungry. I don't need to eat. I don't need it. It's not like the doctor said, you have to put on a couple of pounds. You know, you have a problem. There are very few people that doctors have to tell that to. Mostly they're saying you got to take off pounds, not you have to put on pounds. There are some people, very few. I don't need to eat this. And he writes it, but I still want to eat it. I still want to eat it. So the reason that we're gonna continue with this next week, the reason that he began with this as an example is because achila is the Rosh of all time. It's just an example of how to finally to be able to talk to the Baruch Shalom in an open and clear way about this thing that we've been having in our lives since we can remember, since we're in the world, having this Indian. It's not something weird that only some people have problems. It's just a regular Indian of life. But it's a regular union of life that has a huge effect upon who we are, and how we daven, how we learn, how we keep mitzvahs, our midas are affected very, very much by how we eat, our midas, just how we behave, how we act, how we talk. So mitzvah will continue next week. Shkar.